Welcome to Genoa, everybody. How you doing? Awesome. If you don't mind, let's stand together. We're going to go ahead and start. I didn't get out here quick enough. I apologize. And if I sound like I'm out of breath, it's because I am. This building is so big. I saw the choir special was ending, and I had to sprint over here from... It's crazy. Anyways, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, you picked a great day to come to church. Tell your neighbor that. All right. So we're going to go ahead and open up with a word of scripture, and then we're going to do some worship. And guys, I don't know about you guys, but today is a great day to worship the Lord, isn't it? So let me read this. And during worship, let's just give God the glory. Here we go. This is from Psalm chapter 105, verses 1 to 5. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Proclaim his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell about his wondrous works. Honor his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. And remember the wondrous works he has done." Amen. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Dear God, we thank you so much for this day. I thank you for every single person that's here. God, we don't believe that anybody is here by accident. We believe that everybody is here exactly because you want them to be. And Lord, as today is a day of celebration, a day that we honor you for how you've blessed this church, I just pray that we can just remember that all of this is for your glory, God. Everything we do here today is for the proclamation of you. And Lord, I just pray that we can worship you with our whole hearts today, that we can give you the praise as best as we can, and we just pray for the rest of this church service. We love you so much, and we pray this in your name. And all of God's children said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, guys. How are you? It is good to see you. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. No, Kathy. Okay, let's cut for a second, guys. All right. Little technical difficulty there, right? We're good. We're learning here.
Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes, yeah. And I can't count the times I've called your name some broken night, and you showed up and patched me up like you do every time. I get amnesia, I forget that you keep coming around. Yeah, ain't no way you'll ever let me down. Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me, yeah, praising your name no matter what comes. Tell me, is he good?
He's good.
Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
He is good God Almighty. You say your love goes on forever, that your mercy never stops. So why would I assume you'd be somebody that you're not? Like the sun in the morning, I know you're gonna be there every day. So what on earth could make me be afraid?
Here we go.
Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. 'Cause I know where I'd be without your mercy. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs. Tell me, is he good?
He's good.
Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
He is good God Almighty. Come on and praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him when the sun goes down. Love him in the morning. Love him in the noontime. Love him when the sun goes down. Good God Almighty. Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
He is good God Almighty. Yeah. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down.
Amen. Always Jesus, right, church? Yeah. Amen. So we are so thankful that we can come in the Father's house. And guys, this is a place to come. Whatever is on your heart, whatever situation you face this week, come and lay it at the feet of Jesus. He didn't want you to walk this path alone. He said, lay your burdens at the foot of the cross. Sing this with me. Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house, check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Arrival's not the end game, the journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. Failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Yeah, failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Yeah. We're in the Father's house, yes. Prodigals come home, the helpless find hope. And love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Prison doors fling wide, the dead come to life. And love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Yeah, miracles take place, the cynical find faith. And love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Walls are quaking, strongholds now are shaking, and love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Yeah, love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. It ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Yes, we are. Yes, we are, Lord.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God. Hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. And so we've gathered here today in this place, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We have come to celebrate, honor, and glorify the name of Jesus. Lift up your praise to Him, church. He's worthy.
Death could not hold you. The veil torn before you, you silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have
adoration and praise to Him today, God. What a beautiful name. What a precious name. the name of Jesus.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Amen.
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Do you love the Lord this morning, church? Amen. Amen. There is power in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Well, Genoa, it's good to see you here on the first Sunday here in the new sanctuary. Before you're seated, if you will, turn to your neighbor, say hello. We love you guys, and thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Genoa. We made it. And I know we told you last week that we were going to be in here legally or illegally, and I want to introduce and let you know, legally, we're allowed to be in here. We are so excited you're here for first service in the brand new building, and what we want you to do is go ahead and take your communication card out in the seat in front of you, and we want to keep a record of everyone that was here today. We'll put it in a time capsule, and 20 years from now, when we build a different building, we can say these were, what are you laughing at? 20 years ago, we built that building and outgrew it. We plan to do the same here, so please fill that out as you leave. Our beautiful Home Depot buckets will be in the back for your offering and your connection cards. Guys, we want to take just a couple minutes here to thank the people that have really made this possible. First of all, the builders of our building, which I don't know if you've ever built during a pandemic, it's not the greatest time to do so. The supply chain is ridiculous. We've heard, hey, we've placed this order, when will that be in? And their response was, it will get there when it gets there. And so I want to recognize the McKnight Group. And so if you're here today from the McKnight Group, if you would stand up, we just want to say thank you so much. Sitting right over here. I believe we got Darren in the back. David McKnight and his crew just have done a wonderful job over the past year and a half putting this together. We have Aaron, one of our lead developers here. Darren, our day-to-day guy in the back. And they've just been probably getting annoyed with me a little bit over the past 2 weeks. But thank you so much for letting us get this thing done. Another group that we hired out of Springfield, Missouri, is a group called Paragon 360, who designed the lighting, the AVL, and a lot of the scenic elements we have here. And so Paragon, if you're here, they're actually working, but Paragon, if you're here, please stand up. We want to recognize you. Thank you. We got Ron Robertson, we got Ryan Cowan, and we have Dave Lofton, and they're all working the service today, and so we can't necessarily have them leave their post. And then a couple other from Genoa, just some of regular people that stepped up and said, hey, I've got connections, I'd love to help. We got Darren and Marna Bushing helping with the cafe. If you guys are in here, I think they're working this service. Are you guys in here? There they are. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. And last and certainly not least, Eric McKinney, putting all the furniture and different things throughout the building. We appreciate what he's done. In just a second, our new future choir will be singing a song with our current choir. But before we do, we just want to praise God for what he's done. So would you bow with me for prayer? God, we give you all the praise and honor and glory. God, we know this doesn't happen by ourselves. We know that this building doesn't get built. Lord, thank you for the many hands that have built this. God, we thank you for the ministry that will happen in this place. And Lord, today is not the ending of a building program, but Lord, it's the beginning of the future. God, help us to see our need is still great in the community, that people still need to know the good news of Jesus Christ. And God, may the people that are here today have beautiful feet as they share the good news of Jesus Christ. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
shine upon me and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. Amen, amen. So when Coach Woody Hayes first came to the famous Ohio State University, there was a bit of trepidation and concern. Could he play on such a big field? And the story goes that the night before his first arrival of his first day at the Horseshoe, he brought his son. They made their way down to the football field, and he got a long tape measure, 100 feet long, and he and his son measured the field precisely and exactly. And when he finished the measurements, he looked at his son and he said, "Thank God, it's the same size as the field at Miami University." So even though the environment changed around him, the place where things really got done were exactly the same. It may not seem it to you as you look in this, what we would call a vast expanse to where we've been before, but this room on the lower level, by measurement of seating capacity, is identical to what you had in the WAC, so suck it up, buttercup, and get over it. It's just about the same. And then all of you that are in the balcony area, the bleachers today, whatever they call those things, I'll tell you, they should have given you popcorn and Diet Coke to go along with this today. Guys, could we praise the Lord one more time for being here? Choir, thank you. Hey, I'm telling you, this is the first time in 16 months. Will you give it up for the Genoa Celebration Choir one more time? First time in 16 months. And then of all days, they made them stay up here with me. And one more thing, and we're going to move forward because of time. If you're a little overwhelmed with the lights and the colors and all of that, don't send me emails. This is what heaven is going to be like. The Bible says the lights and the colors and the smoke, everything, not from cigars. It's going to be wonderful. And so just deal with it. I'll be honest, it's invigorated me enough. I feel young again. I'm thinking about getting me a pair of blue jeans with a ripped hole in them. That's all I can do to stay here. I feel young, and I'm going to go home and start a new family if I can find my wife. I'm excited about what God is doing here, folks. And you should be too, amen?
Amen.
Say, I know we've said hello and thank you to lots of people, but I want to take just a moment and thank you to the Genoa Township, Delaware County, the fire department, the trustees, the zoning board. I know this wasn't easy because they have to put things in perspective and the better good for the community. And I know that I've sometimes sounded loud and long, but I take medicine for that. But I especially want to take a moment and thank the trustees. I know that their final vote made a difference. And Carl Gephardt, I believe you're in this building. Would you just raise your hand? Guys, would you join me in thanking God for the Genoa Township, Delaware County? Carl, thank you so much for all of that. And because of time, the parking lot people tell me the parking lot's full, the grass is full, Route 3 is full. We could have paid for this building if we'd have charged parking fees. It's just incredible. So I want to do now what we do at Genoa. Would you turn in your Bibles with me, please? Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're only going to look at one verse. While you're turning there this morning, I do want to take a moment, guys, if you'll put it up on the screen for me. This past week, Ohio Navy Corpsman Max Soviak was one of 13 of our troops killed by the terrorist at the Kabul airport. We want to continue to pray for that situation. Max is from Berlin Heights, Ohio. And from our very own church right here, we have a young man that's been flown over in the last week or two. Trey Williams is there. And the other thousands of people they're serving, let's remember that. Let's remember the Haiti situation. Our Southern Baptist International Mission Board has stepped up. There are now over 2,200 fatalities in Haiti, what happened in Tennessee, and even as we sit here in a calm, beautiful Ohio day, what's happening in Louisiana today. Let's remember that in prayer as well, of all that that's going on. Father, we lift these situations up to you, and I ask God that you would just supernaturally, God, bring peace to the families that are grieving, help and hope for those that are losing everything, and God, any way that we can be involved, Lord, let us do that in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. And one last thing, they've been waiting 3 weeks. Jim and Rosemary Johnson have been watching us from their home for a long time. Jim is 95, Rosemary's 91. They're sharper than a lot of you in this room. And I just thank them for their faithfulness, and Louise Caslow and Frank and Kim Morrison, you're watching Suffering for Jesus down in Florida. And we just appreciate you guys so very much for all of that. So I had this incredible opening that I wanted to share with you, but just trust me, it was good. And what I want to do is talk to you about the name of the Godhead that is under-talked about, and that's the Holy Spirit. We mentioned briefly a few weeks ago in our series of continuing doctrinally, of seeing truth clearly, and I thought, what would I do the first Sunday in the new building? And the Lord laid on my heart, you're going to do what you're supposed to do and finish the series you started, because we're not here just for one Sunday. We're here for the long haul. Amen? And so today we're discussing the Holy Spirit, and I don't have time to discuss all of it. We would disagree on a lot of the points, and it wouldn't be till we get to heaven. Do you see I'm right? But for the sake of our time today, I want us to just look at one aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that's to answer the question, how can I personally be filled with the Holy Spirit? So Ephesians 5:18, it's going to be on our new screens, if you'll notice, and your Bible be the same, the Christian Standard Bible that we have put in the building. It says, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, we want to know more about the Holy Spirit without a doubt. The truth is, if you were to grade yourself on how much you know about the Holy Spirit on a letter grade, would it be an A, B, C, D, E, or F? As a pastor, I think you guys would probably get an A, and I would get an A on God. We understand God pretty well. In the beginning, God. When it comes to Jesus Christ, you know what I think? I think most of you would get an A+, because as New Testament believers, we tend to focus a lot on the Gospels and the Epistles. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I don't know how you would grade yourself. And if you're grading yourself objectively or subjectively, maybe a C, a C+. I shared with you before, when I went over 40 years of my preaching topics, I'm almost ashamed of how little I preached on the Holy Spirit. We know things about the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is real because the Bible says so. We know that He's in the world today doing His work. We know that He indwells every believer from the moment of salvation. And we know that it is He alone that can give us the power to continue living for the Lord every single day. But what we would like to know is how we tap into that power. How do we tap into it for a victorious, successful living along life's way? So as we look at it this morning, I wonder if sometimes we're not like the disciples in Acts chapter 19, when Paul's first missionary journey to Ephesus, he meets the disciples there of John the Baptist, and when he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Notice on the screen what they said. They said, no, we have not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of churches operate today. An old-time dilemma with a contemporary answer to it. We know about the Trinity, even if we can't explain it, but most of us would be very hard-pressed to pass a midterm exam on the person and the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So I want to focus on that question, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I believe it's one of the most important spiritual principles in the life of a believer after we come to Christ. And I want to say something very bold. If you will learn, and it will take more than this message for you to do that, if you will learn this being filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe you will discover a supernatural power, a supernatural source of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. The truth is, we all need to be filled with the Spirit. You get saved one time, but you'll find in Scripture that this continual ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit is necessary for us to live a successful life. What is it? What difference does it make? How does it happen? But the preeminent question above all of those things is, personally, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Do I have that growth pattern happening in my life? We desperately need the Holy Spirit. If I were to say the name Dr. J. Vernon McGee, many of you are familiar with that name. We know him from the Bible bus, through the Bible in 5 years, get on. J. Vernon McGee was perhaps the most powerful radio teacher in the world. He's been dead for a third of a century. Yet, did you know that last year they estimated that J. Vernon McGee is heard around the world more than any other preacher living today? And those that would come in second are so far behind, they don't even compare it. It's not even close. in 1980s, just before J. Vernon McGee passed away, he gave his last public speech, or one of his last ones, at Dallas Theological Seminary. And when he was talking to all the seminary students and graduates about his ministry and what God had done in his life, he said if he were starting his ministry over again, he would give much more attention to the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, I would preach more frequently on the Spirit and attempt to lead people to depend upon Him every single day. The greatest preacher of the 19th century, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said, the grand thing that the church wants at this time is God's Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 5:18 that I've just read to you, there's that implication. But if you don't watch it carefully, though it's just a few succinct words, you'll miss the depth of it. Different translations say it this way. In the NIV, notice on the screen, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The New Living Translation gives a slightly different wording. It says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. And then finally, the paraphrase version by Eugene Patterson says it this way. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of Him. And I really like that phrase, drink, just drink it in. Drink the Spirit of God. It's very descriptive. So be filled with the Spirit. Let God fill you with His Spirit and drink the Spirit of God. From that little verse on the back of your little worship guide, there are five observations I would like to share with you much quicker than I intended to. But as usual, the music went way too long. So I have to live with Carrie, so I've got to keep him humble. The first thing I want you to write down that we can see from this verse, would you notice the contrast between the wine and the Spirit? That's the most basic point of the verse if you're reading it superficially. It's clear that there's a contrast between the effect of wine and the effect of the Holy Spirit. It's a direct parallel drawn between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. Notice again, it says on the screen, and don't be drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit. If you know anything at all about alcohol and people under the influence of alcohol, when you're under the influence of too much wine, it will alter your behavior. You'll experience life a little bit differently. If you drink too much alcohol, if you drink too much wine, it changes you. And we all know, don't we? You get yourself drunk and you do things drunk that you would never do sober. You get yourself drunk, you'll go places drunk, you would never go sober. You get yourself drunk, you'll say things drunk that you would never say sober. And it's an issue of control, because the alcohol all of a sudden has taken over your common sense. The wine has overtaken your ability to behave properly in the setting that you find yourself. So that's number one, being under the influence of wine, which will lead you down the path of destruction. Instead of doing that, Paul is saying, put your life under the direction, under the control of God, the Holy Spirit. And likewise, as wine changes you, please listen to this part, being influenced by the Holy Spirit changes you also. It will change the way you live. It will change the way you act. The Holy Spirit will change the friends you hang around with. The Holy Spirit will change the words that come out of your mouth. And the Holy Spirit will change the way you live, the way you act, and also as a testimony for the Lord. So that's number one, the contrast of being under the influence of wine or under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And it says that we're to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The second thing I would like you to jot down is that this is not a suggestion, this is a command. God has commanded it. It is in the imperative. It's something that every Christian, if you're in this room this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and if you were to die today, you know for sure that you're going to heaven. You know that. Would you raise your hand as a testimony of that? Every hand that is up in this room, and God bless you for knowing that. Every hand that was up in this room, it is a command from God, period. Not just to some believers. It's not just a command to some mature believers or the pastors or the deacons or the elders or to the Pentecostal denominations. It is a command to all believers everywhere. It's not a command just to missionaries. It's not a command to people with a flamboyant personality. It's certainly not a command for any denomination to be opposed to another denomination. It's a command of God to every child of God. Every Christian is to be Spirit-filled how often? You ready? All the time. It is God's will that that happens. And truthfully, if you aren't Spirit-filled, you're out of the will of God, if you had your hand up. If I'm not, I'm out of God's will. And no matter what else you may accomplish in your life, in your ministry, if you don't obey the command of God, you can't say you're truly in the will of God. This next thing that I want you to see about this command is it wasn't written historically 2,000 years ago. It is in the present tense. It is intended for you and me. It's not only a command, but in the present tense, it literally means it's to be continually filled, continually ongoing. It doesn't mean to come to the front at the end of a service and pray a prayer and you never have to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. It's not a command. It's a one-time event. It's being continually, always filled and controlled under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the intent is to have this continual action. It's what happens, for an example, when you send your kids out. You know, I know it's beautiful today, but you know, up at my house, the leaves are already falling off the tree. What is going on here? Don't make me move to Florida. But when they get down, you want those leaves up and you send your kids out to rake the yard and you say, hey, go out and rake the yard. And they're back in the house in 5 minutes. I said to rake the yard. I did. And you look out the window, and there's a little 2-foot by 3-foot patch done. I didn't want you to rake 2 foot. I want you to rake all the yard. You keep raking and raking and raking and raking and raking until all of those leaves are completely picked up. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't just, like in a church service where you get zapped with something and it's over. He continually matures you and sanctifies you and walks you along the walk closer to Him. And He'll do that over and over until the winter of your life comes when you go be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to be filled again and again. That's legitimately, this verse could be translated this way, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, one translation says, be constantly controlled by the Spirit. John MacArthur said we could translate it literally something like this, be being kept filled with the Spirit. And I love the Amplified version. It says it this way, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. And so the filling of the Holy Spirit is supposed to be the normal way of Christian life. Instead of going and asking someone, do you have the Holy Ghost? Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? That should be as normal as knowing that we're going to heaven. It is a byproduct of salvation, and God wants that in our lives. So there's a contrast. There's a command. There's a present tense command. But then I have to tell you, the next thing I want you to write down, number 4, is that it's also a plural command. It's not Frank, you be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that covers for everyone else. It's a plural command where Paul is saying like this. He's saying, let each and every one of you be filled with the Spirit. Now, on one command, it is God's desire for His children. It's His command that we all be filled with the Spirit. But I want you to go with me a step farther than that. It also applies to the whole body of Christ. It applies to this entire congregation. To everyone that is here as we come together, the church as a church is being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, not just for my personal edification. And you see, God imparts life-transforming power that not only changes your life, but changes the entire life of the church. For an example, that's in verse 18. Paul says, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice on the screen what he says in verse 19. I want you to see the corporativeness, that word. The corporate effect of all of it. Paul says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's something you do together as a church. In verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another out of the reverence for Christ. So definitely when you read this scripture, it's more than just my personal devotion. There's a corporate feel to all of this. And by implication, what Paul was saying is, don't go over in this corner. You don't go over in this corner and wait. Don't go, I'm going to wait and get filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't go over in this corner alone. I'm going to wait and get filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that one of the best ways to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit is in corporate worship. Because when we come together and we hear the reading of the Word of God and we hear the great songs like we have this morning, and we hear testimonies like we did. You think this is a great Sunday? You should have been here a couple Sundays ago when the people of the church stood up and shared their love for Jesus Christ. And when you hear testimonies like that, it doesn't help but bless your soul and draw you closer and move in your life. I mean, think about it with me for a moment. Be honest. How many times, don't raise your hand, please. How many times have you ever come to church just weary? You really didn't want to go, but you came to church and you've tired, and maybe you've come to church guilty. I'm going to church, but Lord, there's this thing I'm harboring inside of me. Maybe you've even come to church a little bit backslidden in your heart. It's been a while since you've gotten close to God. And you come, and the reading of the scripture and the prayer of the saints and the fellowship of the believers, and it begins to lift you up. And all of a sudden, you reorient yourself, or yourself is reoriented in a new direction to focus on God. We hear the phrase occasionally about a church that is alive and a church that is dead. What's the difference between a church that is alive and a church that is dead? Both churches have the same Bible. Both churches have the same truths. Both churches sing the same songs. They might even have the same program and the same schedule of services. Outwardly, they look very much alike, but one is alive and the other is dead. What makes the difference? I contend the Holy Spirit of God makes the difference. One author said, I love this, he said, people choose their churches with their noses. They can smell a good church. And equally, you can smell the other stuff. Churches have smellability. Let me ask you, just to prove that point maybe, or to take it a step further, have you ever visited a church? You ever just gone in a church for the first time and looked around, and you can't put your finger on it, but you just sense something is wrong? Did you know that discord has a spiritual odor? And in church services where people should be gathered together to worship and lift up the Lord, it becomes the Hatfields and the McCoys. I worked with a little church. First time I've spoken in another church in 33 years on a Sunday morning, not long ago. I was trying to become famous. They ran 8 people. And I went to the church and walked in on this side, and the folks greeted me and said, oh, thank God you're here. Please help us get rid of our pastor. He's horrible. So I quickly walked over to the other side. They said, oh, thank God you're here. Please help us keep our pastor. He's the best thing that's ever happened. So I said, it's good to be in the church of the Hatfields and the McCoys. But discord has a spiritual odor. But a spirit-filled church is going to be a joyful church, a thankful church, an evangelistic church, a disciple-making church, a repenting church. And it's not because you have a new building that you're rejoicing and it's a great place where 2 or 3 are gathered in a home church, a storefront church, a country church, or a mission-filled church where the presence of the Lord is. There is joy all the time. And we are just as happy in this building in the Lord as we were when we started out in the chapel 100,000 years ago. And we pray for revival, don't we? But we should also pray, Lord, send the Holy Spirit. Send that Pentecostal power of God, not just on us individually, but God, send it to this congregation. My prayer is that we would be a church, we would be a congregation that goes out, and we're not known for our buildings, we're not known for our numbers, but we're known that it's a place where someone can find Jesus, where hurt people can be healed, where children can grow up and hear the pure teaching of the Word of God, where marriages can be restored and lives can be changed for all eternity for Jesus Christ. That's the church that I'm praying that Genoa Church will become. And then the fifth thing very quickly I want you to see, and this is just something I learned, so you already knew it, good for you. This is not only a command that is for us, and it's a plural command, but it's also in the passive voice. This is speaking grammatically about the structure. And it's something I just didn't catch before. It's a distinction I think that many people would miss when they're reading these verses. But I understand that in the Greek, just like in the English language, commands can either be active or they can be passive. And we're much more used to active commands. Go to the store and get a loaf of bread. Pick up some milk for me, please. If I say to someone, fill that hole with dirt, that's an active voice. What would happen if I were to say to the hole, be filled with dirt? There's nothing that's going, and you would lock me up. I understand that. But Ephesians 5:18 is that crazy. It is in the passive voice. And the passive voice is when the subject does something for the verb that cannot otherwise be done. God, the Holy Spirit, does something for us that can't be done. When it says to be filled with the Spirit, it is a work of God and not of man. So fasting for 40 days will not fill you with the Holy Spirit. For you to give up all your money will not fill you with the Holy Spirit. It is a work that God sovereignly does in the life of every believer. He does it. God fills us. He does the work there. He's not saying fill yourself. That's something you can't do. There are two little blanks. If we don't get any further, I want you to have these two blanks. Number one, would you write it down? The Holy Spirit is ready and willing to fill us at any moment. He is ready to fill us at any moment. Even as a believer, if you feel like that you're just not where you should be with God, He's ready to fill you. It doesn't have to be in church. It could be at home. But in this hour, in this moment, He's ready to do it. And then the second thing that I want you to hear and see, it's the most important thing. We must make ourselves available to Him. He is not going, we're not robots. We have a free will. We can choose of how we're going to walk and grow and mature in the Lord. Let me give you a term that'll be a new term for many of you. Maybe jot it down somewhere. It's the term fillability. Fillability. F-I-L-L, in case you were wondering. Fillability. Most of you in this room are old enough to remember something called the full-service gas station. And when you go to a full-service gas station, the attendant would walk up to your window, you'd crack it down, and he would say, what do you need? And you would say, fill her up. Oh, a lot of full attendant. By the way, if you miss those days, go to New Jersey or Oregon. It's the only two states in America where you're not allowed to pump your own gas. But that was something that was very common in the days gone by. Just fill her up, please. Just let me have it. Now, when you say fill her up, you're saying two things. You're saying, number one, I'm empty. And number two, I want gas in my tank. When's the last time you've gone to God and said, God, fill her up? I'm empty. I need gas in my tank. And there's no self-service here. I'm dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And I need to close, so let me give you an illustration and I'll send you home. Can I have my trash can, please? I cleaned it and everything for this illustration. I was advised by other people that this is probably not a good illustration. And I said, well, you start your own church and stay 35 years. You can do any illustration you want. I'm the pastor of this church, and I like this illustration. And I like peanuts. Can this be your life for a moment today? Is your life so full of life that there's no room to fill her up again? I don't know what yours is filled with. It could be your career. So many professional people. When I watched doctors this week with vacuum cleaners, when I saw people that work in factories take days off, took one of their personal days, two of their personal days to work around here, I mean, it just meant so much. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you fill your peanut jar up with. But whatever it is, if you filled it up with everything except the Holy Spirit of God, there's no room. There's no room. There's no room. I don't know what you'd have to remove. Maybe it's a relationship that's keeping you from being. Maybe it's a bitterness of something happening. Your bitterness is overwhelming your jar. You just can't handle it. Whatever it is, it's time to dump it. Because God can't get in if it's full. And I'll tell you something. God can't get in if you've got the lid on it. There are two requirements for God to work in your life. Number one, you've got to be empty. And number two, you've got to be open. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, empty us. May we today realize our priorities in you. And Father God, I ask that you would fill us. You do it. We can't do it. Fill us with your precious Holy Spirit. Father, if there's even one person here today that's been thinking about spiritual things, And they could not raise their hand a little bit ago saying, I know that I'm going to heaven. It may be someone watching, Lord, in Ohio or across the country. We have so many people. But Lord, wherever it is and whoever it is, in this very moment, would you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me my sins and make me the person you want me to be. And I'll tell you on the authority of God's word, if you'll do that, the Bible says all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.